And if there's an area where Satan overcomes you, then that's the time to look up and say, God, what happened? I want to know your ways. That's what happened with me. When my daughter died, I didn't change doctrine. I didn't say, oh, God must have did this to me for some mysterious reason, or, you know, some of these things that are false comforts that God needed her in heaven. You know, that's just such a false comfort. If God is so weak that he needs a seven-year-old little girl in heaven, that he would basically, you know, allow a tree branch, take a tree branch, you know, what do you think? He actually sent an angel with a tree branch and hit my daughter in the head in front of me and caused this horrible, horrible, traumatic thing to happen in front of me and a little five-year-old and a little two-year-old? You think that's God? Folks, that's not God. We need to get rid of man-made doctrines. It's not God. That was a demon. That was a demon who got a hold of that branch. That was a demon, and it's in my book, Joy Comes in the Morning. My daughter even left a picture of a demon in that tree as a little white, like, cloud angel was taking this little, in the picture, like a gold, just like a yellow, bright yellow gold little splotch was being taken to heaven. Lord, show me. Look, I had her draw this picture before she died. Yes, he knew it was going to happen. Yes, he wanted me to hear him. He wanted a breakthrough, but we couldn't hear. We couldn't hear, and I'm not going to get into all the reasons. But after that, you know what? I decided I want ears to hear what God is trying to warn me about. I want eyes to see in the spirit what's really going on. I don't want to live a worldly life and bring God into it and bring the Bible into it and think, oh, look at my religion. You know, oh, look at this. No, I want to serve the living God. And I want ears to hear what he is saying. I want eyes to see what he wants me to see. And I want to be so dependent upon him and submitted to him and weak in self and strong in him that Satan has no authority in my life. See, I learned my lesson when Satan came in to destroy me. And had I not learned it, had I changed the scriptures, had I decided to make me look faithful and make me look spiritual and like I just don't understand God, now how faithful and spiritual will that make you look to, if you wanted to break it down, when he says, know my ways. But the truth is, my son would have died. And you can read the book, Joy Comes in the Morning, the whole testimony's there. And then add to that perseverance, and I have. And that's why this ministry is called Beauty for Ashes. I've seen the ashes. I've sat in the ash pile. But I see the beauty of knowing this awesome God, of being able to help people, of seeing people healed of AIDS, seeing people healed of cancer, seeing people healed from sorrow and grief, seeing marriages restored, seeing life brought into places where death was reigning. Praise God. There's authority when you walk through and you don't change the word of God and you grab onto this God of the word and you cry out to him and you ask him to forgive you for not knowing him. You ask him to forgive you for staying a baby even though you've been saved for years. And you go and you read the book of Acts and you say, does my life look like this? And you're going to say no. And then you're going to say, why not? 2,000 years plus after the cross. And I'm thinking, God's not faithful? When my life doesn't even begin to look like this? Mine does now. I want the greater works. I want to see a church that looks like she knows she has a God living inside of her. And it's going to start one by one by one. It's going to start by each of us becoming those victorious overcomers. So please quit putting off those pet sins in your life. Quit putting off those areas of bondage. Begin to declare war on those things where Satan still has authority in your life. I mean war. And go to this holy and powerful and awesome God and say, teach me. Show me the way of escape. Show me your ways. God, I'm not running away from this anymore. I am going to march right into that mountain and take it down and cast it into the sea in the name of Jesus. That's what we do. We hide away from the stuff we don't want to really deal with, or we think it's going to be too hard, or maybe we won't have victory, or maybe we'll have to quit eating the way we eat, or watching the shows that we watch, or making the jokes that we make, or saying the things that we say, or treating people the way that we do, or working the job that we do. Oh, as if maybe we'd have to make him Lord. Is he Lord? Is he Lord over your schedule today? Is he Lord over what you're going to eat today? Is he Lord over your entertainment today? Is he Lord over the way you interact with people today? See, you choose to make him Lord. But when you make him Lord, he's going to teach you his ways. When you make him Lord, he's going to give you authority. When you make him Lord, you think the Lord is going to let the little defeated devil mess with his bride? Mess with his child, mess with his property. No. Satan only gets us because he still owns so much of the land. We need to put up the no trespassing signs instead of the welcome sign. Take the welcome mat. And that's through what you watch, what you say, what you believe, what you think, what you give into. You know, it's like you can't invite the enemy in for tea and then expect to have authority over him. You can't befriend him, become one with him. It's that thing. So many people are one with the enemy in their thought life that they don't even realize that those thoughts are his thoughts and not their thoughts. So they still condemn themselves. They still judge everything. They're still bitter against God. All they've done is taken the enemy into their thought life and come in agreement with that. But that's another whole teaching that we'll have to get to about casting down imaginations. And we're going to get into that some point in the spiritual warfare series, somewhere in time. But let's get back to this asking. It's so hard. I mean, you know, you read the word and there's so much to preach. There's so much to preach. Okay. I think this is what we really want to get to on this one, though, is this power of asking, this power of binding and loosing, and this power of agreeing on earth. And I just want to encourage you, you know, whether you get together with a few friends at home, whether you're in a church where they do have small group ministry or prayer meetings, or whether you want to go and talk to your pastor and say, look, we really need to have a prayer meeting. I want to begin to come together with other believers and really move into this kind of prayer. I would really like to learn to bind the enemy and loose angels and loose things off of people. And I really want to see a group of people get in the spirit and do this kind of thing. I really believe that scripture about two coming in agreement is touching, and I want to have opportunity to really begin to move into that. And that's what we try to do here in our small group ministry on Tuesday nights. It's what we try to do here on Friday nights as the Spirit leads. But when you hear this kind of teaching, doesn't it get you excited that there's so much we need to be doing? It's almost, how can you be bored? How can you have so much time to be worldly? But that's what we've done. We've been lured into the sleep when there's all these things in the things of God, all these things in the kingdom of God. And I'm just so thankful. God has just given me such an awesome life and privilege to be with other people who are like-minded, who are hungry for God, and to be in prayer and spending time with God all the time, and just doing these things on a regular basis as part of life, you know, praying wherever you're at, casting out demons wherever you're at, speaking the things of God, doing healing the broken places, taking authority, you know, coming in agreement prayer. It's just amazing the kind of life we're supposed to be leading. It's just amazing. And we need to really have that heart. Lord, let me be light and salt. If I'm in the world, if I'm in the workforce, if I'm in the stores, if I'm out where the world is watching, I'm to be light and salt. Do you understand that? If God has you at a job, I don't know, I'm preaching something else now. If God has you at a job, he doesn't have you there to get money. Yeah, he'll let you get money because we need money. Because that's the world system. But God wants to be the Lord of everything. So he's going to bring resources. But if he's actually placed you somewhere, he wants you to be light and salt. So you can't have your temper tantrums. You can't have your attitudes. You can't be telling people off. And if you do, you need to spend more time with God saying, Lord, I'm not very good light and very good salt. I think I'm working this job with the wrong motive. I think I'm working this job with the wrong heart. I think I'm serving mammon instead of you. Would you set me free? Would you help me? God, change my heart. Deal in my heart. Deal in the situation. Isn't life fun? Life is all about getting rid of the stuff so that we can really be light and salt, but so that we can glorify God because we do know him, because we do walk with him, because we do want people set free, because we begin to get his heart. See, spending time in the presence of God gives you the heart of God. I was listening to a broadcast the other day, and we were doing a teaching called Secret Place, and it's an older teaching, but it was really powerful. You know, I really encourage people to get a hold of that. Spending time with God. None of this, there's no formula for this. If you take these things and you try to bind and you try to loose and you try to come in agreement prayer, you know, if you try to ask, believing without doubting, and you don't have the revelation of a real God, if you don't have a connection and communication and a relationship with the living God, with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and the one whose name's above every name that could attack you. If you don't know him, all of this is just ritual and formula. It's like sitting in school, which is okay. You know, you sit in school in America, you sit in school 12 years, well, anymore, you've go 2 years for kidney. So you're in school about 14 years, and then you have to go another 4 years. And if you really want to do something, you got to go another 4 years. My goodness, you're in school a long time pretending that you're doing something and practicing and learning about it. But none of it really applies until you get out there and get the real job, until you need communication skills, until you need to understand these things. And then all of a sudden, it begins to be real. Folks, that's what studying the Word of God and coming to church and conferences and listening to tapes is. If you're getting all of that information, which is good, especially if it's coming from people who are anointed, but you have to realize none of it becomes real and powerful in your life until you get out there with God and really get to know him. Then when you know him, you trust him, it builds your faith in him. And then when you bind, you know, it's not me doing this, it's God. I know he loves me. I know he's backing me. I know he's going to take authority of this. And all that fear is gone. His perfect love casts out the fear. Of course, God's going to take care of me here. Show me what to do, God. Help me deal with this fear, God. He is so much of a friend to us. He is so much of a big brother, if you see him as Jesus as your brother. He's so much of a father. The Holy Spirit's so much like a mother or a comforter or a teacher. I mean, he's every relationship we need rolled up into one God. How awesome is that? And in that place of finding him for real, just comes healing, deliverance, faith, just joy, love, peace, you know, the whole fruit of the Spirit. And it just pours out. It pours out on your children. It pours out on your husband. Even when your husband or your wife is having a really flesh day or even a spiritual attack and they're taking it out on you, you get so much compassion. You think, oh God, the enemy's really hurting them right now. There's nothing I can do. I know they feel like a failure. I know that they're just hurting. God, would you give them a dream? Oh God, I bind up those devils attacking them. Whoa, right now in the name of Jesus. And see, all of that, that flows from love. That flows from being able to separate that person from what they're doing. Separate that person from the spirits operating and just go into rescue and love and hug that person. You know, every single person would be awesome if they would open up and receive that unconditional love of God. And that's what we're to bring. We're to bring that unconditional love of God, but we have to be salt too. So this, and we have to be light. So the light has to reveal darkness. See, light reveals darkness and gets rid of it. So it's not good enough to just hug and love and not reveal the truth to get rid of the darkness. It's not enough to just love if we can't be salt and stand up for that which is true and that which preserves and that which keeps things holy. I mean, what kind of love is it if you just pour out and meet people's needs and you're kind to them and full of joy and peace around them, but they still go to hell? Because you never became light and you never became salt. And truly, as you spend time with God and you get his kind of love, You'll lay down your reputation for them. You'll say things that'll make them upset because you're just going to keep going after them for God. But it's going to be because of love, not because of self-righteousness, not because of trying to meet a need in you. Oh boy, we really stayed on that topic, didn't we? Okay. Let's see, what else do we have here? So that's Matthew 18. I have Matthew 21. Do we want to do that? Let's go to Matthew 21 since we're close by. Matthew 21. I'm going to show you some other power in overcoming. And remember, these are not formulas. These are things the Holy Spirit has to reveal to you. He'll show you when you have the authority. You have to step out in faith and begin to believe it. You know, say, Lord, I'm going to do this because I'm trusting in you, and hang on to God in this thing. And say, all right, let's see this work. And God is just awesome. And don't think the enemy's not going to try to mess with you a little bit, because he's going to try to back you down and make you afraid. And you just stand up to him. He can't hurt you. You know, you're in God's will. You're going after God. You're only wanting the Holy Spirit. You know, you just want to, you're just tired of the fear. You're tired of hiding from the devil. You're tired, being afraid of him. You're tired of the devil just running over everything. And so, you know what? You're just going to have to get a little bold and stand up in love and do the things God has for you to do. And then some of you, you know, you've always been bold, but it's been really not boldness in God. It's really been, nobody's going to mess with me. Nobody's going to push me around. And you think you can take that attitude and put that towards the devil while he just destroys you. So your arrogance or your anger or your hurt being aimed at the devil does nothing. You know, your anger aimed at the devil does nothing. Your past failure aimed at the devil does nothing. Your hurt aimed at the devil does nothing. Your humiliation aimed at the shame does nothing. The only thing aimed at the devil that does anything is the faith of God. The faith of God. The relationship with God that says to the enemy, you will not do this. It's not because I'm not letting you do this to me anymore. You have no authority over that. He'll beat the tar out of you, except in Christ. I'm hidden in Christ. He is my rescuer, not my words. My words are not my rescuer. My prayers are not my rescuer. God is my rescuer. My binding and loosing is not because of me that I can be safe. My protection is in my relationship with God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. I mean, when the church can really get the understanding, all of this is about a relationship, that is so awesome. Because it's about a relationship with a loving King, a wonderful God, a powerful Savior, one who has such authority. He's already defeated the enemy. You know what? God defeated the enemy when he threw him out of heaven, when he rebelled. Then he defeated the power of the sin in our flesh when he went to the cross. And he undid the works of that enemy. So we need to really spend that time going after the Lord. And you know, just, I'm just going to fall in the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to do here. I don't know. Lord just has me speaking this. Sometimes we can get so busy, even with ministry, even with good things that God's called us to, whether it's a job we're called to be doing, whether it's raising, you know, children and taking care of the home, you know, working on the car, you know, being busy at church and helping out. And I really believe God wants us to do those things. I believe he'll give us grace to do those things. I believe he'll empower us to do those things. But we, so many times, just like we do in natural relationships, we put the relationship part, thank you, Lord, preaching to me, we put the relationship part on the back burner because we think that'll always be there. That'll always be there. I've got to do these things. When the Lord wants us to know, if we would put the relationship with him first and spend time with him first. And I'm not talking a ritual, about ritual where you get up in the morning and it's another duty. Let me have my hour prayer time. Oh good, the time's up. I'm not talking about that. God doesn't want time with you that you don't want to be there. I mean, you may have to discipline yourself and start that way. But if it's real, if there's a hunger in you and it's real, you're going to begin to really enjoy that time with God. You're going to enjoy worshiping him and hearing. For me personally, it's at night. You know, I know, you know, it's just at night. When I wake up, I just really thank God, and I talk to God all the time. And sometimes I'll look at the Word or whatever, and there might be a Christian TV's usually on while I'm getting ready to come to the ministry or wherever I'm going, or and even for shopping, whatever it is. It's like I just wait. I wake up and see, what do I feel that I really am anointed to do? So I tell you, if I wake up and it's like clean the house, that's such a awesome anointing that my husband loves when I get. You know, I'll stay home and clean the house. How many of us know, especially if we have that liberty, you know, I have a lot of liberty with my hours because, you know, overseeing a ministry, I can be here when I want, as long, you know, I'm here to preach and different things. So a lot of times I'll just get up and, I mean, I'll honestly feel like I need to do laundry. It's like, I know I've learned now, oh, that's God. He's taking care of that. And so it doesn't bother me. But if I don't flow with that and I try to stick to a schedule that I made, then it seems as everything on that schedule doesn't get done right. And it's just a mess. So you know what I'm talking about? God cares about every single thing you have to do. And he knows if you have regular hours that you have to be at work. He knows that. He's not a dumb God. He's a very, very smart God. And he'll work all of that in. The key is spending that time in his presence. That key is just flowing in that and being energized by his anointing, being energized by who he is, getting to know him. And so, you know, I don't know. I'm sure I have it on the teaching somewhere. Secret Place probably has it a little bit. But for me personally, I have to, when I start to see that the busyness of doing what I love to do, because I really love doing everything I'm called to do. I really don't do anything I don't love. Because honestly, I only do things when I'm anointed to do it, which is going to make me enjoy it, even if it's cleaning out my car. And like last week, I really, really wanted to go to the beach because it was kind of one of these early spring beach days. But my car was a disaster. I mean, it was just a disaster. And normally, I would have fought. I would have started rationalizing, and I would have thought, okay, well, I can always clean my car tomorrow or wait till the rainy day. It's, you know. And I just decided I'm not doing that anymore because I know what'll happen. I'll sit there at the beach thinking how bad my car is. And then I'll be frustrated and I'll go home and I'll kind of, if I don't go spend time with God, I'll start blaming my husband and it'll just fall apart. And I said, you know what? God's in charge of the sun.